Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan. I am your main co-host. I guess I'm joined as always by my secondary co-host. His name is Lawrence Thomas Heisey. Hello.
Hello, Nathan.
Nobody cares because, Lawrence, you have to tell us what this silly little show is all about.
You're absolutely right, Nathan. This is the show where each week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be a video game. But, Nathan, the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse, which seems to be oh so prevalent these days. How's that for an intro for you?
You know what? It's the best one you've ever done.
Thank you, Nathan. I came up with it myself.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Lawrence, how are things going for you?
Things are going well. They're going well. I'm both a bit more tired and a bit more hungry than normal because I've been attempting to lose some weight. But other than that, I'm in high spirits. Ask me next week. It will not be the same case.
I probably won't ask you next week.
I'm not going to become like an insufferable person about it. I'm not going to be.
At one point,
my recommendation this week was going to be like, you guys should have an apple. But I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
I swear, if your recommendation is anything even remotely linked to this shit, then I'm cutting you off, okay? I'm going to mute your mic. And I'm going to kick you from this Zoom call, okay?
That is fair. I would only have myself to blame. But how are you? How the devil art thou?
Not about sums it up, I reckon.
Oh, nice. No, just a perpetual state of unsureness.
Just a general
When you say, is it a state of you don't know how you're feeling or you feel like, What kind of is it?
Do we need to talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, I want to know that. I want to know what kind of you're feeling right now.
I don't know if you
did. It could be.
Okay. Well, no, it wasn't that. there was no possibility of it being that. I'm not just gonna come on this podcast and go, I'm really horny, Lawrence, if I'm being honest with you.
That's fair enough. Well, I wanted to give you the open platform to say if you were. You know, that left a lot of questions, and I just wanted to get a little bit deeper into how you are today.
I don't need an open platform to say I'm horny, okay? I'd rather not have that, if I'm being honest. Lawrence, this conversation is making me feel very uncomfortable, so I think we should move on.
All right, I think you might be right. I've also realised I don't need so many clean recordings of me making that noise on the internet.
Congratulations for sullying the tone of this podcast. We have ads on here, Lawrence. What are our sponsors going to think?
I watched a YouTube video recently where it was like they were sponsored by a company that do sex toys, and they were talking about
What are you watching?
No, but this is my point. I was just watching a normal thing. I was watching someone give their opinions on the movie Oppenheimer. And then all of a sudden...
Of course you are. That makes total sense. There is nothing hornier than incel film bros, okay? That makes complete sense to me. Oh, Robert Downey Jr. All right, we get it, all right? Sure.
He's good in it.
Yeah, I know. We've seen it. Shut up about it.
I should stop talking about movies on this podcast. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, in the spirit of that, let's talk about today's movie. Nathan, your suggestion. I feel like you suggested this way earlier.
I feel like I didn't ever suggest this.
You have. I know you've told me to watch this movie before. Like, I'm talking a couple of years ago.
I've literally never told you to watch this movie in my life.
You are wrong, because I remember it being so.
All right, tell me when.
I can't pull up a date, can I? I didn't mark it in my calendar as the influential day of my life.
Your story seems inconsistent, Lawrence.
Right, that's fine. I don't have to provide evidence. I know you suggested this. And I know that you suggested it this week to do on the pod.
I know I suggested it this week, yes. But I also know that I've never suggested it prior to that.
I know that to be incorrect. But that's fine. We can move along.
Yours to be incorrect. So
how do we get through this? How do we get past this?
We've reached an impasse, Lawrence.
It appears we have.
And I refuse to proceed until we've cleared this up.
Well, I can't provide a date. I know one way to get you to move on, and that's to tell you that, Nathan, I'm going to use this platform to talk about how horny I am unless you do.
Fine by me.
No, okay, fine, I'm wrong.
Okay,
let's move
you.
On,
yeah,
please.
There we go, there it is.
So I was genuinely gobsmacked, and then I watched it, and then I was less so gobsmacked, but on the edge of it, I was
When was you gobsmacked, and by what was you gobsmacked?
I don't know, let me finish my sentence, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
When you suggested a Thomas Cruise movie, as we know, you famously cannot stand the man, nor not all of his movies, but at least some recent movies that he's been in, you find frustrating.
I must say I haven't seen his most recent movie, if that is his most recent movie, Mission Impossible.
Probably is, yeah.
I haven't seen that. I cannot say how insufferable he is in that movie, but okay. I'd imagine quite a lot. Top Gun was just that killed me. That was in the levels of insufferableness were just off the charts in that movie. It was genuinely one of the worst movies I've ever seen because of it. A horrible experience from start to finish.
If you're new here, so that my opinion isn't sullied along with Nathan's, I completely disagree, but it's fine. We will move along. I just need to say that I don't agree on any point about
I refuse to apologize for who I am.
That's fair. Listen, it'd be a very boring podcast if we just fucking loved everything that each other loved. It'd be very dull. Why is this acceptable, Tom Cruise?
I enjoy this movie because, first of all, it's not Tom Cruise propaganda. And second of all, it kind of like, at least at the beginning anyway, it's like Tom Cruise is a fraud, which is how I personally see him. He's like a con man and a liar. And he's presenting himself as this great guy he's a major in the army. He's getting stuff done. He's like, we're winning this war, boys. We're all doing great. I personally am on the front line. I'm a hell of a fighter. We're all doing good. We're all having a great time. No need to worry. Where in real life, he's actually just a coward and he doesn't want to fight and he's a little snivelly bitch. And that's personally how I see him. So like, I think it was good real life Tom Cruise representation. Me so
okay fair
so,
enough
well at least at the beginning anyway then it does get a little bit off the rails with towards the end. It does get a little bit I'm the greatest man in the world again, but you know, for the most part it was pretty okay. So
I will say it is like, because I like the Mission Impossible movies. I like Tom Cruise in them. I think everyone has the opinion of Tom Cruise, like,
and you also love Scientology.
Not accurate.
Yeah.
Look, outside of movies, I think a lot of people do let Tom Cruise get away with a lot of things because he's like, people call him like, you know, the last movie star that wants to do things for real and in camera and do his own stunts. And he does do a lot of impressive things in the industry. As a person in general, he's not a great guy. And a lot of claims made against him presumably have some weight, and if they're all true, then that's not good stuff. And he also was like,
I mean, there's some stuff that he's just straight up said himself.
There is also stuff that is just not a claim, and he's not cool for it.
Yeah,
and he was like scabbing recently, wasn't he? Like, I know the strikes have ended now, But he was like trying to push for the fact that they should be able to market the movies. I'm like, that's not the point of the strike. The strike is so that the studios do take a hit. But yeah, no, like to your point, it was quite enjoyable and also really refreshing to see him play a character that is just a smarmy prick, like just a kind of, like you say, like a coward and just a liar. And it's funny in that scene where he's speaking to the general, Brendan Gleeson's character, and is like, yeah, I kind of don't want to do that. And he's kind of like outwardly kind of forced to admit that he is a coward, and he's just still can't do that. But he's like, might blackmail this guy. It's nice to see him, just Brendan Gleeson having none of it, and him just being like, I have nothing to lean on here. No, like, whatever.
Did you ever wonder, like, what is Brendan Gleeson's beef with this man? Like, why is he like, I'm going to put you on the front line, personally, and like, you're going to, like, I know what your actual job is, but I'm going to say fuck that, and you're going to be my little soldier now. Like, and also, I'm going to say you're a deserter and make your life live in hell for some reason as well.
I think that was a special bit of flair because he tried to blackmail him.
Yeah, probably.
And just to be like, shut the fuck up, man. I can put you down in a second. But I think the initial beef probably, like, is probably what you experience, where there's just something in the back of his mind that is irritated by this point, this bloke.
That's fair.
I can't remember who made me aware of this. It might have been Mr. Sunday himself. Tom Cruise has got, like, a weird middle tooth.
I don't know about this, so it wasn't me.
Okay, I'd say you'd never be able to unsee it, but I know how much you actively avoid Tom Cruise media in general, so you probably won't see it. But he has a middle tooth. Where most people have two front teeth, he's just got a tooth that's, like, right in the middle of his face.
I do remember being distracted by his teeth in the opening of the movie, because they were just, like, whiter than white, and, like, they were just, like, Hollywood teeth, like, straight away, and I was like, this is distracting.
This is blinding.
Yeah.
This is all why Brendan Gleeson hates him. But before we move too far into the movie, Nathan, I wanted to give you a platform, not this time to address how horny you are, but instead... This movie opens with a helicopter shot flying over London, so I'd imagine... Anything to say here?
No, it was all fine. All checked out.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, it was London, as it was in 2013/14, so...
Okay. Well, that's all right, then. Did you pause it to check?
No. I was like, it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
You had a once-over, and you were like, that does it.
Nothing that immediately... I only get angry if there's something that immediately sticks out to me, okay?
Okay.
Like a fake building in Skyfall. Okay. Not Skyfall, whatever the last one was called.
No Time to Die.
No time for James Bond to die at the end of this movie. I said there is. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I like that he's on the back foot. I do like their beef. And I like how quickly it moves, which sounds weird to say for a movie that retreads a lot of old ground by nature of like what it is, that being a Groundhog Day movie. Before we get too far into it as well, what are your overall thoughts in general? Like, I presume you like the movie.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day movies. I haven't seen many, but the one that always stands out to me is Palm Springs, which I think we covered fucking years ago, a while ago at least. But Palm Springs, I like the nature of how it does the Groundhog Day, because it brings up like points on like the point of living and loving and nihilism and how people can deal with that when they think that life means nothing, but sometimes the beauty in life can be in the mundane, and living each day as it is like a metaphor for a lot of how people a lot of the time live their lives when they're in a routine. I like that kind of side of it. I do think that's missing from this movie, but the movie wasn't trying to do it, if that makes sense.
No, it wasn't.
No, but like, I've
it's a very different movie from Palm Springs.
I know, but like, it's using the Groundhog Day trope, and I always think that's the most interesting type of trope to use when you're talking about life in general, rather than putting it in like a... I do like how they kind of pour it over into a military setting, and how that can be used in for like tactics. And he's like, yeah, spin here, duck there, turn there, because he presumably has lived the day 30 times and been killed by all these people before.
It's basically like a video game. Like,
yeah,
you're playing a video game, you die over and over again. So like, you're going through the beginning and you're like, I know this like the back of my hand. Like, I can just, I can spin, dodge, attack, defend, whatever. It's just basically like that. Like, the more you play it and the more you die, the better it you get, really.
I do like that. I like how they do kind of switch it up for that in that instance. Yeah, because you just know. I'm the same when I play video games. I'm like, if I don't take that guy out, last time he fucking alerted all of his mates. So he's now top one on the agenda.
Mm.
But yeah.
What I want to know.
Yes.
Because you hadn't seen this movie, and you also didn't put a clip in the previous episode because you wanted to go into this blind. So, what did you know of this movie, and what was like, was any of it a shock to you, or how was your reaction to it?
It's weird because I didn't know what the movie was about. I've seen the poster, so I knew that it starred Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, and I know that there was mechanical suits. I didn't know if that was attached to the military. I didn't know if that's set in the future or the past.
Did you know the name changed of the movie?
I didn't know the name changed. I knew it was Edge of Tomorrow, and I knew that they had a slogan that said Live, Die, Repeat.
No. See, because it was called Edge of Tomorrow, and then it came out on Blu-ray, and they called it Live, Die, Repeat. It's not, there was a subtitle, Live, Die, Repeat. That was the name of the movie.
Why?
I don't know.
That's a terrible... They're both bad names, in fairness.
To be fair, it's based on a comic called All You Need Is Kill, which is...
It's also equally bad.
Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
All You Need Is Kill is... That's not a name. That's a... I mean, it is a name.
It is.
But like, I don't know. There's nothing to that. All You Need Is Kill. It doesn't even make sense.
Sorry, it's not after some...
Right, you do this when I just make a valid point about
how is
that
valid? How is that name bad? I don't like it.
I raise you. You made the exact same point when we talked about Glass Onion, A Knives Out.
No, I made the point because of the title, the subtitle, the A Knives Out Mystery, which I think that's a valid point because I explained why it's dumb and why it's just buying into IP and capitalism.
But also, do not think that, like, Edge of Tomorrow is just, like... Right, it doesn't have to have, like, a reason it's bad. It can just be a bland, forgettable... You know...
And All You Need Is Kill is bland and forgettable? I think that's metal as fuck.
It takes one of the most
popular songs of all time, and then it's, like, a song that's all about love and fucking... And acceptance and cherishing each other and that kind of stuff, and flipping it on its head to be about the complete opposite of that. I think that's quite cool.
Look, if you think it's cool, then that's cool. But to me, it sounds like one of them, you know, when you go around in The Last of Us and you see a movie poster for a movie that never came out, or in the beginning of Tropic Thunder, where there's trailers for terrible movies. It feels like the titles of those movies. All You Need Is Kill, Live, Die, Repeat,
Edge
of Tomorrow.
You're so cynical. You are just the...
Does it not sound boring? Edge of Tomorrow is boring.
Edge of Tomorrow is boring, yeah. I'll agree with you on that. Live, Die, Repeat is a little basic, but I get it. But All You Need Is Kill, I think, is great.
We will have to disagree.
Sure.
It does... I didn't know much going into it. I knew that from... I thought it was a subtitle. Obviously, it's not. It was an alternate title. Or a just title that they used at some point. So what is this called? Is it called Live,
Die,
Repeat?
Don't worry. It doesn't matter. Stop focusing on the names. Tell me what you thought of the fucking movie.
No, you asked me what I thought going into it.
Yeah,
and if
I
knew
don't
anything
need
about
a 10-minute breakdown of the names, all right? Just move on.
All right, I didn't know much going into it. I knew that people would live and die and then repeat, but I didn't know...
Okay, so you knew it was a Groundhog Day movie?
I knew it was a Groundhog Day movie, yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't know there was, like... aliens. I knew there was a war situation because of the mech suits, obviously, but I didn't know there was an alien invasion. I didn't know any of that kind of setting for it.
Okay.
I like it. I think it's a good movie. I do. I've got a note as I like Emily Blunt's entrance. I like the way they introduced the Groundhog Day because Emily Blunt is like, she's kicking ass. She's being cool. She even like stands kind of like it's a flag short of her waving the flag of resistance on a like a cliff top type of thing. And explosions in the background. And then she's just like speared to fuck and dies. And Tom Cruise is like, oh shit. And I like how from that moment on, the pace just fucking is kind of just rocketed till the end. It's a good movie. It moves quickly. It does some genuinely kind of interesting things with the Groundhog stuff. I like it. As it went on, I liked it more. I thought it was a little bit... I got more into it as we went on.
Okay. Well, what about it opened up to you? What was it that made you enjoy it more?
I think, like, once you start...
And what was it that you was not enjoying?
Tom Cruise playing this unlikable guy, I think it's refreshing, but, like, I didn't care about him.
So you always want him to be the greatest man in the world.
No, but like if I'm following a protagonist and like the crux is that I want him to survive to complete a mission or something, then like watching this irritating asshole die is more entertaining than watching him succeed, then like, I don't know, you want to follow him for a bit and like actually hope he succeeds in what he's doing. And I think like as it goes on and the Groundhog Day kind of premise opens up, it makes for these fun sequences where like he can go into a room and say what everyone's about to say before they say it. And that's always a fun bit of comedy. And I also like that there's, as the film goes on, there's moments where like you realize that you're kind of on the back foot, because we can't watch Tom Cruise do these days 30 times. So we're like, at times we're left wondering, what does he know that we as an audience don't know? And that's interesting. And that kind of comes up in a big way later on with a scene in the barn with Emily Blunt, and how we assume that we're there for the first time, but we're not.
Spoiler alert.
You always call me out on a spoiler. We're talking about the movie. We always spoil these fucking movies.
Interesting.
But that's what I liked as it kind of went along. It wasn't that it like started badly for me. I warmed to it as it went on because it became a bit more fun, I think.
Well, speaking of Emily Blunt, what did you think of the cast in this movie? We've got, obviously, the worst man in the world, Tom Cruise. We've got Emily Blunt, who is kind of okay. We've got Bill Pullman, maybe, or Bill Paxton. I think it's Bill Paxton as the army guy.
Oh, the guy that always like takes him to the squad.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You know what? That gets into, that's something I hate about Groundhog Day movies. The repeated dialogue. Because he just gets so, whenever he's just doing that speech about like, you know, like fucking, you will make you into something, but I've heard this 1,000 times, mate. It's just like, I don't know how Tom Cruise goes through it all, goes on a big walk with him time after time and doesn't just want to shoot himself in the face, man. Because, not me. Anyway, cast, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked him. I think it was like,
you got Brendan Gleeson. You love Brendan Gleeson. He's in that movie you love.
What movie is it? You know, oh, Brian Banshees, yeah.
The one that's probably boring.
Oh, you annoy me so much.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say for certain, but it's probably boring.
Yeah, fine. Good. I'm glad that is your... Fuck off. All right.
Well, look, I said probably, okay?
I don't think you can base that on any merit.
I can.
What? What merit?
You can see a trailer for a movie and go... Yeah, that doesn't look like it to me. It looks boring. I saw the new Ghostbusters trailer and I was like, fuck, that looks awful. That looks so boring. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I think you can say it's not for you. I don't think you can say it's boring.
I think you can.
I don't think so.
Why not? You can say it looks boring.
You said it's probably boring. I'm splitting hairs over semantics here, but that is not the same thing.
That is splitting hairs to a big degree, okay?
Fine. All right, fine, but I also think you say it to fucking annoy me.
Oh, I definitely do, yeah.
Fuck's sake. Look, yes, I enjoy Brendan Gleeson. He's very good. Bill Paxton is fun. I like the...
What else did I watch Brendan Gleeson in recently? I watched him in something recently, and he was good in that. I can't remember.
What have you seen recently?
Nothing with Brendan Gleeson in it.
I like the ragtag bunch of weirdos. I don't know any of their actors' names apart from one guy who the guy that gets his ass out and fights naked for some reason.
Who's he?
He's in that Ricky Gervais show. Afterlife. He's in that. He's in other stuff as well. I don't know what. He's in a lot of like British comedies.
You famously love Ricky Gervais, don't you?
I don't love Ricky Gervais. Do you want me to talk about this movie at all? Or would you love to just keep interrupting me to say nothing?
I'm having fun, Lawrence.
I can tell.
There's Australian soldier. There's girl soldier. There's guy who was on Legends of Tomorrow soldier. The gang is all here, Lawrence. You love this gang, is that what you're saying?
I just like a group of weirdos. And I like that how like they're not... They're all kind of different nations. It does emphasize the point that it's like this is a war for the human race as opposed to a war for any particular kind of country.
Yes, because it is the UDF, the United Defense Force, I believe.
Is this a Heathrow airport?
Yeah,
I thought I saw that. Yeah. I did
27,000 times when Tom Cruise was waking up.
Do you like the little alien design?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. It's just... The way you phrase things makes me laugh sometimes. names, because like when you say the little alien, I don't know, I just imagine like just a little guy, just like a little, you know, like a little LGM from Toy Story or something.
Like a little Martian thing.
Yeah, I should say I've had a few whiskeys. No, I do. I like it. It's like it reminds me of like the symbiote from Spider-Man, like Venom.
Yeah,
it's very like, you know, I don't know how to describe it other than that. It's just like, it's very like gooey and like quick, and it'll get you. You gotta watch out. It'll spin around and it'll just like, I wouldn't want to fight. I'm gonna have a fucking. It's a miracle that the entire human race was not wiped out in a day, to be honest with you. Seeing how these guys fight and stuff.
They've got their little mech suits, and the bullets obviously do seem to fucking rattle them a bit, but it is very
venomous. They always have their mech suits, though? Because, like, these guys
must have made them as a response.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what they say in the beginning. That's what, like, they're like, oh, we got the mech suits now, boys. You don't need any training. You can just go. You need a little bit of training, but, like...
Well, I mean, do you? Because Tom Cruise, like, picks it up after, like, 2 days, maybe. He's like, at least I know how to fire this thing now.
Well, he didn't know how to turn the safety on for the first, like, half a day.
I think it's very much like a...
It was in Japanese for some reason as well.
That is a vibe of the movie that I think is really fun, though. Everyone does seem woefully underprepared. Like,
it was frustrating. It was like, can someone just talk to him? Like, it seems like so many issues. They're like, yeah. Listen, person who's never been in a war before, we're gonna drop you in a war, and you're gonna fight for us. What? We don't need to tell you how any of this works, all right? And like, even the sergeant, he says to him, make sure he's combat ready. But then they just jump to the plane. And they're like, well, guess we're going. Like,
And also, like, what can they do? What can they do to make him combat ready? Like, they have that training thing where, like, there's like mechanical, I guess, versions of the alien type thing that
they go for a run around Heathrow Airport, Lawrence. That's what they do.
That's
they
true,
go for a run, okay, and then they do some press ups when one of them gets snarky.
Yeah.
Okay.
To be fair, I've done at least one press up in my time, and I feel like I could take.
Oh, you've done your press ups this week, have you? With your fucking, with your app and your calories.
No, Nathan, I've just been going on some walks. All right, so I've been going on some longer walks than normal and eating clean. That's what I've been doing this week. goes on forever. That fucking sound effect.
Yeah. Golly,
thank you. I appreciate it. I do like that. Like, it's very like sprangly. The alien, that being, it's very sprangly and tentacled and gross and slippery and everything else. But it, like, up close, it has not a face. I mean, is it a face? It's got something that looks like a mouth.
It's got a bit of a face. Some of them do.
Yeah, but it feels like if it's moving around. Yeah, they do. Are they the blue ones? They're the blue ones that glow a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I like that. Like, if it was just moving around, you'd have no idea where to like effectively shoot it. Like, I could be hitting its leg or something, and just
I don't think that matters. I don't think you need to worry about where you're shooting it. I think you just need to shoot it.
Just spray and pray, basically.
Literally, yeah, that's really all you need to do.
Something about this movie I do really like is the idea of like putting a known liar, or not a known liar, but like, this guy's got a piece of paper that says Tom Cruise is a coward and a liar. And I like the idea of like putting a man who has to try and convince another man who thinks that that man is a traitor and a coward and a liar that like, no, I'm actually living every day over and over again and we lose this war. It's basically like trying to sell air to a man whose ego is through the roof. Like, it's very funny when he's like, I could like win you this war if you listen to me. We can go in prepared and actually have a fighting chance against this. And
that's
like,
what was frustrating.
Now that sounds bogus.
That's what was frustrating for me, because if you see a man doing and telling you things about yourself that you cannot explain, like, and seemingly predicting literally everything before it happens, like, maybe there's some credit. I don't know. It's difficult because I know I'm watching a movie where he can actually do it. But, yeah, like, at the same time, like, I hear him out, man, because it's just like, well, that sounds dumb. No, we're going to go to war.
At the very least, it would at least grant him 5 minutes of my time to explain himself a bit better.
Yeah. Well, Brendan Gleeson does it. They have a scene where they go see your favorite actor Brendan Gleeson, and then they like they get him to listen to them for a bit, and then, and it seemingly works. He's like, all right, sure, here's this device you need. But then they get out of their build, and then he's like, ha, trick, kill him.
Get these boys.
Yeah.
But it is a fucking, it's hard to say, because like you say, we know that we're watching a movie, but like, if this happened to me in real life, I'd like to think I'd hear him out. But in reality, if someone said, I can rewind time or something, I'd be like, that's just not true though, is it?
Well,
like,
yeah, obviously, yeah. If someone came to me and said, I'm living the same day over and over again, I'd be like, all right, cool, see you later, mate. Like, like, there's nice no one. Part of me which is gonna believe, even if he like did predict it. Well, I don't know.
If he predicted stuff, like if he predicted some weird shit, like the number of, well, no, firstly, because magicians do that shit all the time, so I'd be like, oh, they're doing a magician thing that I don't.
But
know.
Like, yeah, but then to a like uncontrollable level, like,
yeah,
cars in the street and everything like this, and you know,
yeah. Like,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to say, but I would probably be just as skeptical as them. But they trust him in the end, I guess. When they actually do give him the time to explain it to them, I guess they do believe him and go with him.
No, they don't. They never believe him.
They do. They go along with him. They're like, I thought you guys could see the future or something.
Yeah, the squad do. Not like the higher-ups or anything, though.
Oh, no, yeah. But that's just a comment on, like, I guess the, like, American industrial complex, right? It's just a case of, like,
Brendan Gleeson's Irish.
Yeah, oh, yeah, true. Yeah, apologies. Yeah. And Brendan Gleeson's my favourite actor. Yeah,
exactly. You love him in that bad movie, probably. all right, so, like, If this was you, all right, if you were thrown into this situation, if you suddenly found yourself in a Groundhog Day, you're waking up on these bags over and over again, would you be so committed to trying to stop the end of the world, or would you be like, I'm just going to fuck around for a few days or whatever?
Oh, see, I don't know. I definitely would take off days. I feel like Tom Cruise takes no off days.
Yeah. Well, he does that one time. He goes to a pub that one time. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not going to war. I'm going to go to a pub, and then he gets killed.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's what changes it, isn't it? Because like, I would have off days, but he sees that this war comes to London, right? There's nowhere he can outrun these aliens. So I guess if he doesn't stop it.
I don't think he's trying to necessarily. I think it's just like, well, I'm going to wake up there again, so I might as well just spend some time chilling out while I can. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I do some insane shit. Like, I just run around the airport naked or something. Just be like, nothing you boys can do about it. Doesn't matter. There's literally no consequences to any of this. So like,
yeah,
fuck it. You know.
I do. I definitely would fuck around a little bit more.
Go on.
Huh? I was gonna say I do like how how blasé Emily Blunt's character becomes about it. She's like training him, and he like breaks his leg. She's like, I'll just shoot you in the fucking head. Start again.
She just puts him down like a horse. Just like every time. Which is, I always wonder, like, what happens after that? What happens
in that time? I think the same thing, yeah.
Because like, they're not alone. They're in like a training facility with like other soldiers who they don't really know what they're doing. What happens after that once Tom Cruise has just been shot in the face by her and they all go like, what the fuck? Just
Yeah.
Should we arrest her? Like, what happened?
I like that in Palm Springs, they acknowledge that in the... Like, is life still going on outside of this time bubble situation that they're in? Has everyone else moved on?
That's never really addressed here. I guess it's kind of just like, I don't know, it dissolves, I guess. I don't think it's like a branch timeline sort of thing. Like, these are all going on. I think it's just a... Well, we don't need to worry about that now.
Yeah, and I also think, like, in terms of the universe of it all, I think that every single thing just stops there and then. I think the world quite literally... And it's crazy that this is the Tom Cruise movie you like, because I think in this movie the world literally does revolve around that one man.
But only because of the alien goo or whatever, the alien cum.
Yeah, the alien... Oh, but then Emily Blunt had the alien goo as well.
Exactly, yeah. She said, look, I had the alien cum, but then it's going to get taken out of me in a way that's definitely going to happen to you because I'm mentioning it right now.
Yeah. You don't know what you've done, she said. I do like that they took it out of him, though, because it, like, if he went into that final battle, with just, I'm immortal, it'd be like, we've got 100 goes at this.
Yeah, exactly. It really, like, it gave us, like, the fun training montage, and, you can die over and over again, and there's really no consequences to it. You just, like, if anything, it's good because you learn more and more each time and everything like that. So, like, it's great. But then it took away that ability. So, like, now there is actual consequences. Now there's the stakes are a lot higher. Like, we have one shot at this to get to the Louvre and destroy the whatever it is. So, it was a good sense of tension and drama, really.
Yeah. This is fun. This sentence gave me a headache when I wrote it. On that third act, and in relationship with the rest of the movie up until that point, there is a fun disconnect between what Tom Cruise survives when he can't die versus how easily Tom Cruise can die when he can survive it.
Like, that's fair.
A car, I know a car running over most people would kill them, but, like, it's a movie. And when Tom Cruise just gets KO'd from that, but then, like, at the end, when he's very much mortal again, there's explosions going off behind him, he's crashing fucking helicopter things, he's getting blown up, and he's like, oh, we've had worse days than this. And I'm like, and you've died from it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It is very fun.
He did get run over by a truck one time whilst he was just, like, doing some press-ups.
Like that he just timed that. I thought his plan was to die and then to, like, reboot himself and be like, right, I know what I need to do. But it turns out he just fucked up his role.
Just died. He just fully fucked it up. And then Bill Paxton was like, oh, shit. Okay.
You know, that reminds me. It's funny that you say like a video game type thing. Because, like, you know when you save a game before a cutscene that's unskippable and really long?
Not me, because I know how autosave works. But
All right. But, like, if a game spawn point is, like, at the start of a walking mission... And you're like, oh my god. You know, like, sometimes in games it forces you to slow down and, like, walk with the other character while they tell you a story or something.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, if it feels like that. It's like whenever you die, then you spawn back and Bill Paxton's telling you the same thing. I feel like the amount of times Tom Cruise is like, fuck's sake. I didn't mean to die this time, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, this is exactly what I said earlier. I don't know how he didn't just shoot himself every time.
Do you like the scene? Well, this is kind of what I was getting at earlier as well. How the movie does get to a point where Tom Cruise definitely knows more than we do. And the movie leads us to believe that maybe this is the first time that something has happened, but then that's not the case.
I do like that. There's a moment, like, where we find out that Tom Cruise has actually done this quite a few times, and, like, where he's a lot farther on than we actually thought he was. And the way that it's, like, slowly revealed, and the way, like, Emily Blunt, like, realizes, that's all quite clever. Yeah, I did enjoy that quite a bit.
Mm. Yeah, I did too. I was nervous that was going to be the movie's point of, like, she has to die. I was like, that's kind of stupid. I don't think she has to die.
No, yeah.
I do like that it just got to the point where he was, like, sick of watching her die. And then he was like, I'd much rather we just sat here and just chatted for a bit.
I think he
has this nice line about how, like, I wish I didn't know you, and she barely knows him. For every single time she meets this man, she's known him for a day.
Yeah, it's true. I guess he's pretty lucky in that, like, she knows what this is. Because, like, she's been through it too. So, like, he doesn't have to spend, like, I don't know, like an hour each time trying to convince her everything. It's not like a 50 First Date scenario where Adam Sandler harasses a woman endlessly until she falls in love with him. He harasses a woman with short-term memory loss until she's like, all right, I love you. Okay.
And he makes like little little diaries every
year. He makes
every...
little videos and everything. Yeah. Or, yeah.
And she just takes that at face value every time. It's like, I presume this is correct.
Exactly, yeah.
After all, what other man would make a random video explaining this?
Exactly. It makes sense.
He is very lucky that she's had this before, and it's not just like he's not just thrown in with, like, imagine if this the other guy was Bill Paxton, and every single time that he spawned, he had to just run over to Bill Paxton and be like, please, I can't waste half the day doing this again. I need you to just be real and just hear me out for a second.
Yeah,
that would be very, very frustrating.
I'd shoot myself, honestly.
But then you just have the same problem, Nathan. That's the problem.
Yeah, but
no, I just wake kept up the gun and shoot loaded.
Myself. Yeah, wake up and just shoot myself straight away.
Just forever.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know if I like. I don't know if this isn't a problem with the movie necessarily, but I do think the way that they try and root the Groundhog Day scenario in, like, the aliens have the ability to rewind time if they have a threat coming. It's a little bit like. It's the movie's way of hand waving we're doing Groundhog Day, but war.
I like that. I like that. That's interesting. Yeah.
Do you not think it's a little bit silly?
No.
I don't know. I
think it's just they have this ability. So, like, yeah, sure. It'd be silly if it was just like, I don't know, oh, I fell through a portal and now I can wake up or whatever.
Yeah, true.
Like,
yeah,
there's a reason for it. It's not just like it's out of nowhere and it is what it is. I think, like, it's just an ability they have. It's explained well enough for me to be like, sure, I buy that. That's fine.
It definitely fits within the world. I just think, I don't know, there are little lines where at the beginning they're like, when they land on the beach and it's just an outright ambush. And the aliens are very much there to answer their secret infiltration on the beach. And they're like, they weren't even supposed to know that we're coming. I'm like, but if they've got this ability to rewind time, surely they're always steps ahead. Surely they always know what's happening.
But no, but that, well, that's kind of like what goes on in the movie. We find out about that as the movie goes on. Like, Emily Blunt explains, like, these battles we fought, we never won. It's only because they allowed us to win. They want us to get to this point and stuff. It's an ability they have, but it's not like, it doesn't work in the sense that, like, they can see everything. They can rewind time as much as they like, and there's no limits to it. It's only if someone kills an alpha and is then... It's only if someone kills an alpha, and then because of... And the alphas are quite rare. And then because of that, the omega is then able to reset. So it's, like... It's limited, and it's not just like, oh, this is just a thing that happens. It's also strategical. Like, it's like they want it to happen so they can see what's going to happen and plan for that, basically.
Okay. Yeah, no, all right, you've turned me around. I forgot about that bit where Emily Blunt does say outwardly, like, yeah, this is their invasion. This is the way that they do things. Why do they do it like that? I can't remember.
Because they're clever.
Yeah, but like you said, they could just storm the entire world and be done with it, surely.
Well, clearly not. Otherwise, they would have.
I mean, guess about fair, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
What do you make of the fun sequences where, like the infiltrating a room, or like, I think they do play up a nice little, maybe not physical comedy, but I like the physicality of, like, Tom Cruise spinning Emily Blunt around, and she's like, what the fuck? Because she's never done any of it before, obviously. And he knows everything backwards to the point where he's, like, weaving in and out of rooms to avoid guards. I like all of that. And, like, oh, that guy in the yellow armband always notices you, keep your head down.
Yeah.
I like a lot of those things.
It's pretty fun. It's good when it's done well, and I think it's done well in this movie. I think, like, there's examples of that which I hate. Like, all those magic movies, those
Now You See Me.
Yeah, horrendous. Fucking truly some of the worst movies ever. Absolutely horrendous. And it's all just like, oh, I can do sleight of hand card tricks, so that means I can now rob a bank or whatever.
Yeah.
And none of it makes any fucking sense whatsoever. But they always do like these sequences where they're like, oh, well, fucking Jesse Eisenberg will walk through like a fucking restaurant and then he'll quickly whip off his tie and now he's a different person. He'll take a picture of a guard and he'll quickly print out an ID and put it on himself. And it's all just the most contrived, just like none of this would ever happen in real life. It's so just bullshit and just, yeah. Look, we're moving quick because we're so cool at magic and all this sort of stuff. And it's,
yeah,
ugh, horrendous movies. I hate those movies so much.
But this one does it well, you think?
It does those kind of just fun, quick walking through a place to get somewhere I've seen. It's quite quick. Yeah, it's a good bit of fun, I think. And because it's not too egregious with it. It's not like, look at me, look at how cool I am because I can do all this and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
if it's very much like kind of scuttling around and like last minute remembering things and going, oh fuck, right in here, quick.
It's trial and error. He can only do this because he's done it time and time again and has been killed literally fucking 100,000 times trying to do it. So that's a bit of the shine gets taken off when you think about that. Like, how many times has he walked through this hallway and then just got shot in the face?
I want to see all the off days that didn't work.
Exactly.
I want them compiled into a movie.
That's one thing I like. I do like how it kind of like it works like with the editing and stuff, and like we see them like progressively get further on throughout the day and that type of stuff, and then we'll like, but it's not always like linear sort of thing, in the sense that like we'll see them like, you know, they'll get past the beach and then they'll go to like another bit, but they could have died like 127. That was very specific, but I don't know. They could have died like a number of times between that, and we don't need to necessarily see it, you know?
Yeah, and you the movie shows you just enough times to that I think where you believe that this is not going flawlessly all the time. It's very much just an awkward shuffle to the finish line, and equal. Every single run has an equal chance of being the run that works and the run that is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Which I really, really quite enjoy. I think.
And then there's that line I quite enjoy where Emily Blunt just goes to him, what do we do now? And he goes, I fucking know. We never got this far. Like, I have no idea. Let's see, I guess.
Yeah. Let's hope it works. And then that, like, subsequently, immediately, like, most people die apart from Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do like that he kind of leads them all in and is like, they're all kind of under the assumption that this guy knows what he's doing, and when he gets there he's like, I'll be real, I just needed the bodies, I guess, like, and I'm not really looking after you guys, I'm just, my focus is keeping Emily Blunt and me alive, so like, you guys look after yourselves, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about the ending a little bit.
I don't.
Okay, well in that case, thanks for listening, guys. No, but like, for fuck's sake. Does Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt being alive at the end of it break the movie's rules?
No.
I can't tell if the ending like doesn't work or does work. Maybe I didn't understand it.
It doesn't, because the Omega died. The Omega was blown up. Okay. In the process of the Omega blowing up, the Alpha was also killed. And as Tom Cruise was dying, the blood from the Alpha poured onto him. So he got his ability back. But the difference here is there was no Omega to reset the timeline from their perspective. So it's only from his perspective, not their perspective. Okay?
I see. So, okay.
There's no Omega to remember. There's no hive mind to remember what they did, because it was already blown up before the blood got on him. You get it?
So it was kind of that perfect storm moment of if that Omega had died in any other way.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's very contrived and dumb. And it's very like Come on.
For a man who starts off not knowing how to turn the safety off on his gun, he comes very far tactically, I will say.
Well, he's done it like a million times or whatever, but...
No, that makes more sense to me now, though. I get that. That now makes sense. I didn't realize that blood had gone on him and he kind of re-got those abilities, but now it won't ever happen, so I guess he just got another chance. He got one more life, I guess. That's pretty cool. How come it started him earlier? He started him when he got off the helicopter this time, rather than getting kicked on the base.
I think because it's 24 hours, isn't it? It's 24 hours from when the blood gets on you. And they went to Paris like the night before the invasion. And it was in like the morning when he got the blood on him. So
yeah.
So I think that's why.
That checks out. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm glad I got you here. Yeah, because I thought the ending. I was like, I'm happy if everyone lives and that's fine. But if it was just happened to be the case of like, and we made it out, I was a bit like, that sucks. But
no, there's reason for it. It's not just like the universe grants them life again. But
yeah.
But now I guess Tom Cruise just has immortality. I guess.
does he have it though? Because he. Oh, yeah, no, I guess he would do, yeah.
Yeah, unless he donates, like, I guess, yeah, he could just go immediately donate blood or something. But, like...
Yeah, I would keep it until I'm, like, old.
But that's the thing, he could, like, I guess forget about it, live a whole life, marry Emily Blunt, have a couple of kids, accidentally trip and fall down the stairs one day, and then just be, and then just wake up 40 years earlier, but, oh, fuck. You know,
yeah, because it's dead, isn't it? It's in Palm Springs. They kind of reconcile it with if you fall asleep or die,
yeah,
then the day starts over. But this one, it's just death.
Ooh.
That would be very funny. Yeah, just suddenly go, oh, well, hang on, what the? No, come on.
Yeah, that would be fun.
But yeah, no. I overall, I think I like the movie. I think it's like it's good. I'm not so sure. I was keen on. Was it the era where a male lead and a female lead just had to kiss? Was that the thing of the day in 2014?
I'm alright with it. It was fine.
I only thought it was weird because it. I know that, like, from a movie perspective, we'd seen them the whole movie and they're obviously warm to each other and there was obviously something there. But in my mind, it was like, I don't know, it just felt a bit like, weird that like he's known her for however long he's known her for and she's known him a day and she's like, I wish I got to know you more, and giving him a big old kiss. That felt a little bit stroking the ego of the lead man.
I can see why, but for me it's more like we're gonna die, so have a little kiss, why not, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, yeah, you don't want to die kissless, do you?
That's true. Yeah. Wasn't both of them were kissless up until this point?
no, but you're like, you gotta have a little smooch before you die. It's traditional.
True. I may as well have a little smooch before I die. That doesn't make sense. If we were in this scenario, I'd give you a little smooch before we died.
No, I would reject that immediately.
No, you're going kissless.
No, I don't. I want to kiss you. I'll kiss someone
so
else.
We'd both go to our deaths with just an awkward air in. I've been aired from a kiss.
I'm going to kiss someone else. I don't want to kiss you.
But it's only you here, Nathan.
No, there's no. I'll find someone else.
Okay, the big alien, the big venom alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I really, really liked the movie. I think it was like...
Great.
thank you. I normally, like, with Groundhog stuff, I do, like I said earlier, I kind of do prefer it to deal with more kind of broader themes, like the life in general and all of this stuff, which sounds incredibly vague, but like...
Yeah.
I like Groundhog Day to explore. Huh?
And a bit pretentious.
I don't think it does. I think if you have a narrative framing piece that's about living the same day, there should be an element of what does that day mean to live it 1,000 times. Oh, I know. Yeah, Nathan loves to pull faces, right? But I think that is a very valid point. But I do like the military spin that they put on it and how it'd be good to take a crack at a mission 100 times and fuck it up. And then figure out where you fucked it up and then fix it tomorrow and then fuck up in a new way. And I think that's very fun. And yeah, I do. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you had fun. Well done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Nathan, do you have a little recommendation for me today?
I do, Lawrence. Why don't you tell me what that is?
So at this point in the show, Nathan and I like to recommend things to each other and to you listening. It could be anything that we've done, anything that we've seen, watched, experienced in the past week. And that is what we're going to be doing right now. Nathan, please regale me with your choice.
I'm going to recommend a movie that I saw on Friday. Went to the cinema. It's my local cinema Plex. I saw The Marvels.
Oh, okay. How was this?
Great.
I had tickets to go see it, but then work came up and I was like, I'd rather make the money. But I do need to go and see that movie.
Well, how often are you just buying tickets and then just not going?
I like to kind of book them because I've got unlimited, haven't I? So if I cancel it, it's not a big deal. Literally, I spend no money.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I forget about your cinema card. I went to see it Friday. It was a good fun time, to be honest. I wasn't expecting a whole lot just because I've been kind of down on them. A lot of Marvel stuff recently, yeah. And just a lot of superhero stuff in general. But it was genuinely great. I had a really good time. It was really refreshing. It was quite breezy. I think the cast is great. Brie Larson, Iman Vellani was especially just incredible. I love her so much. She's absolutely great as Kamala. I had a good time with it. I recommend people go see it if they haven't already.
Is it like, as an entry point, like if someone has been kind of not with the MCU for a little bit, like I have no idea where Nick Fury is. I didn't watch Secret Invasion. Is that going to be a problem?
No. The Secret Invasion might as well have not happened because it's just just not referenced, brought up. Nothing is touched upon. Yeah, I would say you don't even need to have seen Ms. Marvel or WandaVision with... Because like everything that happens, it's all briefly touched upon and everything's explained. There's you can easily just watch this movie. I would say probably watch Captain Marvel beforehand. But yeah. I mean, even then, you don't really need to. There's nothing that's like you're not missing anything really. You can totally just go into this blind if you want.
It's just like a fun slice of the MCU, I guess.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nathan, my recommendation is also a movie.
Well, tell me about it then.
It's a movie. It's called Past Lives. I've wanted to see it for a while. No, right, why that reaction?
Because you don't shut up about this movie.
I've mentioned it like 3 times.
That's not shutting up.
I think I've been subdued. I really liked it. It's a movie I've wanted to, it came out earlier this year and it's been like hard to see. I couldn't get to see it. It was available in a cinema for like a day and I couldn't get to see it. And then I had to wait for it to come on streaming. And even then I had to rent it, which is irritating. But yeah, it's called Past Lives. It's a nice movie. It's basically, without spoiling it, it's a story of a young Korean boy and a young Korean girl live in Korea. And they obviously have some sort of childhood love blossoming until the girl migrates to the US, to New York. And then... the movie kind of deals with how their lives intertwine from there as they grow up and become adults and, you know, how that all unfolds. It's a really, really good movie. It's quite quick. I think it's like 1 hour and 40 or something. And it's genuinely like a really interesting depiction of like love in the real world. And also like it's quite fun. It's quite honest. It's very understated. And it's also a directorial debut from a new director. I'd imagine she's done smaller stuff, but Celine Song, has said that this movie is kind of about, like, elements of this movie has kind of been taken directly and lifted from stuff that's happened to her in her life. It's very cool. It's a good movie, and it costs $12 million to make, which is still sounds like a lot of money, but in movie making, that's next to nothing. I think it's a good movie that people should see, and I think... It's a shame it didn't get pushed further out because of the nature of just what it is. Some of it is in subtitles and it's made by a first-time director who hasn't got a proven track record yet. But yeah, very good movie. Should watch. Good time. Well, actually, no, not good time.
Great.
Surprisingly heartbreaking at some points time, but overall a good film.
Sounds fun.
It's not. It doesn't have to be fun. It's still enjoyable. So after I watched it, I was like, "That's a good movie to sit on and have a little think about."
All right. Cool.
Indeed. And yes, that is what we do when we do the recommendations. Nathan, did you know that next week we're going to be doing this?
We want to do a science fiction series.
C.S. Lewis meets H.G. Wells meets Father Christmas. That's the Doctor.
Doctor who?
Action! Wahoo.
Wahoo.
Nathan, it's not Mario. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave a little review. You can go to your podcast platform of choice, leave us a little 5-star review. That'd be much appreciated. You can also give us a little follow on Twitter. We are at Another Happy Pod. You can follow us there for any updates, as well as sending us your thoughts. You can also suggest a topic in our pinned tweet. There's a link, so you can go there and have your say. Maybe we'll talk about it. No promises, but yeah, we occasionally check them. And if something sticks out to us that we want to see, we will have a little chat about it. Nathan, I heard a rumour that we have another podcast.
We certainly do, Lawrence. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who podcast, where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who. Come along and join us for the journey. We're currently making our way through Series 4, and we're having a bloody good time doing it. It's Still Got Legs, available on all podcast platforms.
Hell yeah. That is everything from us. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Love you lots.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.